Welcome to the Microcom Podcast. I'm Rob Walling. In this episode, I look at six lessons from my most successful investments in B2B SaaS. This is audio taken from one of our YouTube videos. I actually really enjoyed making this video because it allowed me to think back and try to pattern match over the 171 investments we've made across TinySeed. And frankly, mentally, I included some of the 20 investments that I've made privately. Before we dive into the episode, MicroConf Remote is going live on November 20th. Remote is our virtual event. We run it twice a year, and this one is focused on early stage marketing. I'm going to have three speakers, each doing Q&A after their talk, plus our founder by founder sessions. This is where you get to meet other founders in the MicroConf community. It's our digital equivalent of the hallway track. MicroConf Remote is one of the favorite offerings for early stage folks, and we get a great turnout. We sell several hundred tickets. The purchase price is low, and if you're not able to make the event, which is on November 20th, you will get a recording afterwards. Head to microconf.com/remote if you're interested. Before we dive into the episode, I wanted to let you know that our MicroConf Mastermind program is open for applications. I've talked a lot on this podcast about how important masterminds have been to my entrepreneurial success, but finding the right founders to join up with can be hard. Over the past few years, our team has successfully hand-matched over 1,000 founders into mastermind groups by looking at your revenue, team size, strengths, goals, and a few other data points to make sure your peer group is the right fit. Once matched, you'll also have access to our mentorship series, a three-month program where you can connect with some great minds in sales, business development, marketing, and more. If you're looking for accountability, honest feedback about your business, and the opportunity to make new friends that care about your success, you can learn more and apply today at microconfmasterminds.com. Applications are only open until December 4th, so make sure you sign up before then. Again, that's microconf.com/masterminds. And with that, let's dive into the episode. After investing in 171 SaaS businesses over the past 5 years, I've uncovered more than a dozen patterns among the businesses that grow the fastest and lead to life-changing outcomes for the founders. In this video, I'll reveal six of these patterns and show you why they make your startup more valuable, even if you never plan to raise funding. The first lesson is that fast growth in a SaaS startup is a multiplier between the founder and their market. And what do I mean by a multiplier? Well, if you have an amazing founder, but they're in a bad market, a market that's not growing fast, a market where not a lot of people are looking to switch or coming into the market, then they will do so-so. And if you have a so-so founder in an amazing market, they might do okay. But if you have a crappy founder in a crappy market, they multiply together and you get a low number. And if you have an amazing founder and an amazing market, this is where I see companies growing the fastest. So in terms of founders, there are several traits, 8 or 9 traits I've mapped out elsewhere about things that I see in SaaS founders that allow them to succeed. But realistically, if I were to boil it down to 2 things, it's being capable and being coachable. So capable is they get stuff done. They move quickly. They generally work on the right things. They're right enough of the time to keep pushing the boulder up the hill. Coachability is the willingness to ask for advice, to ask smart people, whether it's an investor, an advisor, someone in their mastermind, another startup founder that they know, and take that advice and maybe not implement it directly, but at least incorporate that into their thinking. So that's founder. If we switch to the market, I talk about total reachable market. So total addressable market is what venture capitalists talk about, right? Which is some billion-dollar TAM, you might hear this. For me, total reachable market is how many people are looking for your solution or this type of solution on a monthly basis. How many new businesses are cropping up that need it? How many existing businesses are switching from existing solutions? How entrenched and hated is the competition? So apps like Shopify are really not liked by a lot of companies. Mindbody has a bad reputation with gyms and fitness studios. And frankly, the end user doesn't love them either. So having an amazing founder who is coachable and gets things done in a market that is growing fast, or there's a lot of folks switching all the time, can really lead to strong growth. Lesson number 2 is that in SaaS, technical founders have a leg up. This may not come as a surprise at all. If you are a non-technical founder and you've tried to launch a SaaS, you know how hard it can be. Within TinySeed and the 171 companies we've funded, about 85% of them have at least one technical co-founder. And that's approximately the number in the broader ecosystem. We survey 600 or 700 founders every other year through the MicroConf State of Independent SaaS survey. And we show that the numbers are about 15 to 20% of non-technical founders. The challenge is the product is so core to your business so that teams without a technical founder inevitably struggle with scaling, with code quality, and every new developer or agency that comes in tells them they need to rewrite their entire app from scratch. Another data point, of our seven-figure companies, so those doing millions and multiple millions, 96% of them have at least one technical founder. And in all of those companies, one of the founders figured out how to market or sell first before handing it off to someone else. Lesson number three is almost contrary to the point I just gave, but it's that we have funded three or four apps that are built with no code. So there are pros and cons to building a product in no code. The biggest negative, I think, is that all of them will eventually have to be rewritten. And at that point, they will stand still for months. And that's not just something that I think. That's not my opinion. I've talked to the founders who we funded who have their apps in no code, and they see the writing on the wall. They know that they will not scale this to a seven-figure company with the app built in no code. So while it's a super minority of the number of companies we funded, it hasn't been a hard no to date when we had that decision to make. Hiring senior developers can really move the needle in your business. But if you bring on the wrong person, you can quickly burn through your runway. If you need help finding a vetted, senior, results-oriented developer, you should reach out to today's sponsor, Lemon.io. For years, they've been helping our audience find high-quality global talent at competitive rates, and they can help you too. Don't just take my word for it. Listener Dylan Pierce had this to say about working with Lemon.io. The machine learning engineer they helped me hire was very professional and even learned a new tech stack to set up an environment to train and deploy machine learning models. He documented his work clearly so I could train it in the future with additional data. I'm super happy with the results. And longtime listener Chaz Yoon hired a senior developer from Lemon.io and said his hire, quote, definitely knew his stuff, provided appropriate feedback and pushback, and had great communication, including very fluent English. He really exceeded my expectations. Chaz said he'd definitely use Lemon.io again when he's looking for a senior level engineer. To learn more and get a 15% discount on your first 4 weeks of working with a developer, head to lemon.io/startups. That's lemon.io/startups. Lesson number four is that the best team composition for founding teams is a developer plus a marketer, or a developer plus a salesperson. Whether it's marketing or sales depends on the funnel. Obviously, if it's a marketing funnel, you need marketing. If it's going to be a high-touch sales funnel, you need a salesperson. The other thing we've seen work, and I would say is comparable, is a developer plus a subject matter expert, but only if that subject matter expert learns how to do sales or marketing. Because having someone building the product, your developer, and the subject matter expert telling them what to build and usually doing customer success, but then no one doing sales or marketing is not a recipe for fast growth. So usually it's that subject matter expert who gets out there and starts doing the sales and marketing if they want to grow fast. The fifth lesson is just how big of a win focus is. Anyone we've seen trying to manage multiple apps or an app plus consulting is really giving half effort at best. And they can't dedicate all their thought, their time, attention, and energy to growing this single thing that is hard to grow. So we've seen folks who for years have been trying to juggle two, three, or four things. They come on board with TinySeed and they focus, and suddenly their main SaaS app starts growing really quickly. And I've had multiple conversations with folks asking them, you know, is this the TinySeed effect? Like, why did you start growing? And they say, well, it's the advice, it's the mentorship, it's the funding, but also it was my ability to focus. And this lines up with my own experience. When I had 8 or 9 products, well, back 15 years ago, none of them would grow. I could maintain 8 or 9 products. But if I wanted one to start growing faster and get into that 6, 7, or 8-figure mark, I knew I had to focus. And that's exactly what I did when Drip started taking off. I sold all of my other apps so that I could focus solely on growing Drip as fast as possible. My sixth lesson, looking across data from these 171 companies, is that lower price points tend to churn faster. Pretty much in every case, actually, I'm still looking for a counterexample or two to this idea that lower price plans and lower price customers churn faster. And in fact, we don't fund consumer or really prosumer apps because the churn in those apps are pretty much catastrophic. Like most applicants that we've seen have this 14 to 30% churn when they're dealing with consumers and prosumers. And that type of churn is business ending. Thing to keep in mind though, is you can't just raise prices and expect your churn to go down. You actually need the features to serve upmarket customers in order to get that churn down to those marks where you can really grow a business at, you know, 2, 3, 4% per month. If after hearing this list, you think your company checks some of these items, you might consider applying to TinySeed. That's my accelerator for bootstrapped SaaS founders. It's where we've invested in 171 companies, and we offer the right amount of funding. We offer mentorship, camaraderie, advice, community, and applications for our next batch open September 2nd and are open until September 16th. I'd love it if you'd apply. Head to tinyseed.com/apply. So when I started putting this list together, I actually had another 7 or 8 lessons, but putting them all in this video would have made it too long. So I decided to put the rest of the list on the next episode of my podcast, Startups for the Rest of Us. You can find the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and even here on YouTube. That podcast is up to 730 episodes or so, and I've been doing it for 14 years, every week, week in, week out. And I talk about building, launching, and growing bootstrapped software products. Really, bootstrap SaaS is what we focus on these days. And I provide inspiration and tactics and sometimes interviews, but a lot of question and answer episodes, solo episodes, anything to get you to where you want to go faster if you're a bootstrapped or mostly bootstrapped founder.